Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Yeah, as I was going through this and working on my sermon, normally my sermon I start 3 or 4 days before I have to preach it, and I let the Holy Spirit work through my brain. Sometimes he uses a 2x4 in the middle of the forehead, but he works. But I had to do everything yesterday because we've been on vacation. And so I'm sitting there, you know, our whole thing today is about being afraid. And then I got to thinking of those, you know, commercials for milk, got milk, you know, and you see the white line. Well, my sermon today is, got fear? Sure we do, we're human beings. Well, so what is fear? Oh, here it goes, pastor talking about words again. But I think it's important. We can't really discuss something unless we know what it is we're discussing. And I think that makes sense. Can fear and love God? That's in the catechism and we prayed about today. Is this the same fear that we're talking about here? Well, I don't think so. I think it's really fear. Many of you were alive during World War II that are in this room, okay? And after the attack on Pearl Harbor and the Day of Infamy speech, what did Roosevelt say? We have nothing to fear but fear itself. Okay, and folks, being afraid is part of our human condition. So let's look at fear. What does it mean? It's a distressing emotion aroused by impending danger, evil, and pain. Whether the threat is real or imagined, it's the feeling of condition of being afraid. And here's synonyms. I like this part. Foreboding, apprehension, consternation, dismay, dread, terror, fright, panic, horror, trepidation, and qualms. Well, look at all them big words there. Okay, and if you notice, they're almost all Latin words, not our short Germanic words. Okay, so this really is a heavy subject. All right, well, let's talk about a little bit about Jesus appearing to the disciples. Now, this is after the crucifixion, and they're in that upper room and the door's locked. Why? Because they're afraid. Boy, are we going to get arrested? Are we going to be put to death? Boy, we better stay up here and hide. That's exactly what's going on. Now, if you've been following our readings, you notice we did Doubting Thomas last week. Normally that's after this. But I was looking at the other readings, because I usually plan my sermons out by a month, okay? And I thought, no, this reading goes better with the other readings we have today, and it's our subject of fear, which is why I switched them around. But here's the thing, folks. When we look at fear and that feeling of being afraid, doesn't it take over our whole personality? Okay, sometimes we get so fearful, we start to shake. Okay, you ever experienced that? Of course you have. Of course you have. You know, especially if you've been in the military, I can't imagine being in a foxhole getting ready to take off. You know? I probably wet my pants, but that's one of those things. Fear. So many of our church family have passed into glory. Or we have other members right now that are waiting to meet Jesus because of health. So, is there fear there? Well, I think so. But isn't it more the fear of the unknown? What's going to happen to me? As believers, we know where we're going to end up. But that process of getting there is what I think what scares us. And you remember what the apostle said after the appearance, especially Thomas. Lord, I believe, help me with my unbelief. And that's it. So what is all of this based on? Our deliverance. Faith. Okay. And what is faith? It's a belief in things unseen. It's knowing with surety that you don't need to be afraid because you're facing things that are going to be good. Well, folks, are we afraid of what's going on in the world right now? I know I'm concerned. Well, what's going on? Well, we have North Korea. Although today, he had stopped his nuclear program. It could have been this whole thing was a ploy to get help for his economy. If you want to help for his economy, just ask. Don't threaten nuclear war. We've got all this stuff going on in the Middle East right now. We got a regime change in Cuba. We've got China and Russia that are starting to, you know, posture and do that kind of thing. So, folks, there's many things to be afraid of with all of these. You know, I've talked to you about my father before, my father. And one of the things I do that, because it always reminds me to do my best. That's why sometimes I use this and sometimes I use Jesus. But one of the things Dad always did, he said, what can you do better? He never made me wrong for what I did, but what can you do better? And he was a baseball coach. I mean, baseball has been in my family, and I'm the only one that couldn't see. Well, that's a sermon for another time, but that's why I didn't end up in professional baseball. You know, there's talents that go, and my talents went to music, not to playing baseball. But here's the thing. Dad always said this. If you live in fear, you fear to live. And not only the stuff going on with what's in the world, but there's so many things we're afraid of. You know, I've talked to people and say, well, I don't drive on the interstate because I'm afraid of it. That's okay. That's a fear. Yeah, Betty's sitting here going like this right now. Okay, but folks, fears are fears, and they're real. You can't just say, oh, don't be afraid. Well, you're already afraid, okay? So fear is something we do experience. I got three people I'm going to quote today, because as I was doing research for this, you know, I started looking, what do people have to say about fear? And I found three I thought were really good. This one's by Mary Roach. Who Mary Roach is, I don't know, but I like the quotation. I don't fear death so much as I fear its prologues, loneliness, decrepitude, pain, debilitation, depression, and senility. After a few years of those, I imagine death presents itself like a holiday at the beach. Good quote, isn't it? I like that one. All right, next one. I learned that courage was not the absence of fear, but the triumph over it. The brave man is not what he does not feel afraid, but he who conquers that fear. Nelson Mandela. Good quote. And finally, have no fear of moving into the unknown. Simply step out fearlessly, knowing that God is with you. Therefore, no harm can befall you. All is very, very well. Do this in complete faith and confidence. Pope John Paul II. You know, folks, wisdom is wisdom. Okay? It can come out of the secular world. It can come out of the religious world. But the thing is, we are afraid. You know, there's sometimes you're afraid. You know, I've seen people stand in front of a crowd and talk so afraid they didn't even know their own name. Okay? That's like the guy who wrote, okay, I'm going to write my name on my shirt. And, you know, so you know, when somebody asks me my name, I can tell it. So he pulls out and looks and he says, Fruit of the Loom. Okay, but the thing is, fear is real. Okay. That's how the apostles acted in that locked room, isn't it? Fear was real for them. Did they live their fears or did they overcome their fears? Not yet. Not until Jesus came. They were living their fears. They were afraid to live. Did they have faith? Well, yes, but did they live their faith? No. And the thing is, after the crucifixion, folks, put yourself into this. They saw Jesus, you know, Peter, Paul, and Mary Magdalene. Or Peter, John, and Mary Magdalene saw Jesus. And they came back and told everybody else. Surely, did you know that Jesus is with you right now? He rose from the dead. Yeah. But if you're one of the apostles back then, oh yeah, really? Yeah, where is he? Okay. You know, folks, we're going to talk about the things we don't know in a negative manner. Prove it to me. You know, we're all from Missouri in that, you know, the show me state. All right, show it to me. Well, that's the thing with the apostles. They had gotten to the point they were so afraid they'd lost their faith. And then Jesus appears. Peace be with you. You think they learned the meaning of he is risen at that point? I think so, okay? You know, it's probably one of those, you know, type of reactions. You know, I talk about Greek a lot because the Bible I study is in Greek. And in Greek, here's another one of those funny forms. They have an action that appears in the past, but it doesn't stay in the past. It continues into the present and into the future. As it was, is now, and ever shall be. That's where that comes from, is out of Greek. But also it's in Revelation. It's first of all talking about God, and at the end of Revelation it talks about Jesus, was, is, and shall be. Okay? And so the thing is, it's very important for us as Christians to understand that. So, the thing that also comes with that is there is what it's called a hati clause, O-T-I with a funny mark over it. And it's a resultant clause. And what it means, with the result of. So you have these actions that past, present, future, with the result. And that's in the Greek Bible. With the result, there's a haughty clause that goes with this, okay? What's the result that happened to the apostles? What did they do after Jesus appeared to them? They believed in him. And what did they do? How did they show that belief? They went out and witnessed to the people, okay? And they didn't care. What did they get back? Their faith. And faith is not something we have ourselves, but it's a gift from God, isn't it? Okay? The Holy Spirit re-entered their hearts. All right, I think this is where the story gets interesting. And like Paul Harvey, here's the rest of the story. So they're out talking to the people. Okay? All the apostles are out there, and they're witnessing. Well, if they're talking about Jesus, they're talking heresy. What do the Jews do to heretics? Stone them, okay? So all the apostles are arrested. They bring them in front of the Sanhedrin. And our reading today from the Acts of Apostles was about that meeting. Peter standing in front of the Sanhedrin and talking. And he witnesses about Jesus Christ and his life. Well, the resultant thing about that was he would probably be stoned along with the rest of the apostles. But it doesn't happen, okay? The next section in that reading talks about a man stands up in front of the Sanhedrin, and his name is Gamaliel, who is a rabbi. Well, Gamaliel had the biggest school in Jerusalem. He's also the teacher of the apostle Paul. Paul was a student. And he stands up in front of the Sanhedrin. And he tells them this. If what these men say is from man, it will wither and fly away. But if it's from God, there is nothing we can do to stop it. And so here we are 2,000 years later telling that same story. So is it from man or is it from God? I think it's from God too. And you know, it's those kind of things that really get to me. Let's look at this for a second. Okay, here's the scripture that talks about that. And they arrested them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who had heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to about 5,000. Now one of the things, you've got to read scriptures. Okay, 5,000 men. How many women and children believed? Probably 10,000, 15,000 people. That's a lot of people in Jerusalem at that time period. Okay? On the next day, the rulers and elders and scribes gathered together in Jerusalem. And here's the thing. In King James, it's Ananias, the high priest. In the ESV, it's Annas. Why they changed the names, I don't know. But Caiaphas and John and Alexander, who were all of the high priestly family. And when they had set them in the midst, they inquired, by what power or by what name do you do this? Jesus. He's the one that comes to them. He witnesses for Jesus in front of the worst crowd he could possibly do it to. But does he get stoned? No. Because Caiaphas stands up. And if you notice, I'm doing this twice now because I want you to understand this. You know, Galatians 5, Paul talks about this. Because he talks about being in the flesh or in the spirit of God. If you live in fear, are you in the flesh or in the spirit? Flesh. Okay, where's the flesh come from? Well, not from the Holy Spirit. Happiness, joy, peace, excitement. All of those come from the Holy Spirit. Fear, apprehension, dread, qualms, all those things I read earlier come from the flesh. Where do we want to be, in the flesh or in the spirit? Spirit. But yet, being afraid is part of our condition. So what did Nelson Mandela say? You have to overcome the fear. And what did my dad say? If you live in fear, you fear to live. So don't live in fear. Be afraid. Say, all right, I'm afraid. So what? Live in the Spirit of God. That's the important thing. Let us pray. Lord, create in us a clean heart, O God, and renew our right spirit within us. Cast us not from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation, and keep me faithful in your dear spirit. Amen. Amen. Anybody recognize that?